Hey there, Cornerstone teammates. This is Beck, and I want to welcome you to our worship podcast, where we're studying the art and the heart of worship. We want to build you up, deepen your understanding, support you, and encourage you to get out there and do what God's called you to do. So let's get started.
Are you out there? Do you know me? Can you feel me? Can you show me? Where are you going? Don't leave me alone. How do I follow you? Into the unknown. Now, of course, this is from Frozen 2, as Elsa responds to the voice calling her to leave her town and go somewhere that she's never been, and to trust it's where she is supposed to go. But this also could have been Abraham's song, as he heard God call him to leave his town and family to go into the unknown as well in Genesis 15. Abraham responded in complete faith, not knowing where God was leading him. He worshiped God all along the way by building altars in worship in response to his guidance and leading. He worshiped God for the call that he placed on his life. Moses was called to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Finally, after talking with Pharaoh too many times and all the plagues, they're able to finally walk out. But then the Red Sea blocks them. Moses and the Israelites think that the plan is done. The plan God had for their lives are over. But then the Red Sea parts, and they walk on dry land to the other side. Moses responds by writing a song celebrating God for what he did in Exodus 15. Worshiping God, but also a song to remind them of God's faithfulness in his plan for their lives. So this month's topic is that we sing in worship in order to respond to God's call. Our worship service is structured around the idea of a conversation between God and his people. God speaks to us through his word, and singing is one of the ways that we respond. This response may be in many different ways: responding in praise for the word that God has given us, responding in thanksgiving for his blessings, or possibly even responding in action like Samuel did when he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." When we respond to God's call, we're saying yes to the plans and purposes he has for us. We're acknowledging and we trust him enough to lead us into the unknown and to surrender our plans and desires in exchange for his will. We worship God and say thank you for the call on our life and his plans for our future. We know that God has good, good plans. And sometimes that call on our life happens in the midst of worshiping God as well. In Isaiah 6, Isaiah has a vision of the Lord that he is high and lifted up, and all the seraphim are worshiping him. Isaiah realizes that he is not fit to be in God's holy presence, but God cleanses him and places a call on his life. And Isaiah responds by saying, "Here am I, send me." Again in Acts 13, in the midst of a worship service, the Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." God places his call on Paul and Barnabas, and they are sent out. I can't tell you the number of times in youth ministry where teens have responded to God's call in the midst of worship. And I think a lot of that is because they are focused on him and not on themselves. And so they hear his voice speaking. So we worship God for his call on our life. We can receive God's call on our life in the midst of worship, but how do we worship God when we are told no to what we think is God's call on our life? We just read about God calling Paul to the ministry and worship, but while on his journey in Acts 16, we read that the Spirit of Jesus prevented Paul from going to Bithynia, where Paul thought he was supposed to go. Then later in that same chapter, Paul and Silas are thrown into jail. Now, I probably would have given up at that point. I'm not able to go where I think I'm supposed to go, and now I'm in jail. That's it. I'm done. But not Paul. What does he do? Well, let's read what happened. In Acts 16, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns, and the other prisoners are listening to them. Wait, what? They're worshiping and singing in the midst of that? And then there's an earthquake, and the jailer becomes a Christian, and Paul goes out to eat at a friend's house because they're all the people that have been praying for them. It's kind of crazy if you think about it. I don't know how Paul did it, but he did. He was able to worship and sing in the midst of what he thought was an ending of the call on his life. I think there are three things that we can learn from these examples. One, we sing to worship God, thank God, and ask God. Our worship is for him and about him. Second, we sing out loud for ourselves to be reminded of who God is and what he has done for us and what his plans are for us, even when it seems like his plans are not working out. I don't know if you're like me, but if I pray silently or if I'm worshiping silently, my mind can go off the rails. All of a sudden, I'm like, what am I thinking about all of a sudden? So I think the idea of singing and worshiping and praying out loud is good for us because we hear the truth being spoken and the worship being given. And thirdly, sing out loud for those that are next to us. We don't know who is in any given service. They may need the truth of what we are singing to reveal to them who Jesus is. They may be searching for who he is and what his call is on their life. And our worship and our thanking God for his call on our life, our seeking him to continue to guide us, can be what that person needs to receive that call on their life as well. So I've given you a lot of stuff that we worship God and we sing to him because of his call. In the midst of worship, we can receive God's call. Sometimes we worship, though it's hard, in spite of what we think maybe our call has ceased, but it may be just we're going to take a left turn here instead. It may just be a change of the call. And then we've talked about singing to God to worship him, singing out loud for ourselves to be reminded, and singing out loud for those that are next to us to encourage them as well. So respond to any of those ideas. What grabs you? What have you experienced? What is something maybe you haven't thought about? But just open it up. What are you thinking right now? Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a vocalist.
I'm Morgan, and I'm a vocalist on the band, but I also run sound and direct and do a lot on the tech team.
I'm LaDonna, and I play the keyboard on the band.
I'm Jordan, and I sing, play the acoustic guitar, and the bass on the band.
So outside right now, we are hitting probably 93, 94 degrees with 75% humidity, which brings our real feel to just over 100 degrees. There are 35 of us in a 5x5 room, and it is hot. So we put on the air condition. So that faint hum you hear in the background is the air condition. Bear with us. We're still going to keep talking about worship, though. So respond to any of those thoughts that are kind of running through your mind. Something you've experienced, maybe something that you're kind of hearing for the first time and you want to kind of verbalize it and see what it feels like to talk about. Is that what you've experienced or whatever? But just open it up for you.
One thing that there's a number of different things that came to mind while you were speaking, but one thing when you talked about how our plans don't work out and we're still trying to worship God is, you know, Joseph, he had a calling of God and his brothers threw him in the pit and then he became a slave and yet God blessed him, but it didn't happen right away. He spent that time in the prison wondering what in the world God was doing. And eventually God showed him, but it was a long time in him being perseverant and choosing to worship God and God blessing his time. And I know in my own life, I called on that story a lot of times. When I graduated high school, I was planning on being a missionary. And I went into missionary training. I was planning on going, and God allowed that path to get blocked. And when that path was blocked, I became very bitter for a while, and I was really frustrated with God. I'm like, what is going on? I wasn't just frustrated with God. I was frustrated with certain people that I felt were at fault for that. And I really struggled, and God had to bring me to a place. It's like, worshiping me is not just about singing and being happy. Worshiping me is about yielding yourself to whatever I have in your path. And right now, this is what I have in your path. And will you trust me? Will you yield yourself to me and let me put you where I want you?
Kind of piggybacking on that, one of the things that you said, Jeff, that kind of struck me was that we surrender ourselves kind of in exchange for his will. And, you know, I feel like that phrase hits really true for me. A big barrier to my faith for a long time as a young man was being able to surrender, control, to surrender understanding, to surrender my time. If I'm being honest, that was a really big one. I was selfish with my time. I couldn't be bothered to do the things that I knew God was asking me to do. But once we reach that point, right, it's like LaDonna said, like everything changes when you can surrender that, and it's his will over yours. It really transforms everything.
Yeah, I think I'm like, it's interesting because you were talking and going through all of it, and I was like, man, I could have a talking point for each one of these things, and I won't because that would be a lot. But like, I think, you know, you're talking about like God kind of throwing us these left turns and just trying to like really chew on them and stay grounded in your faith when that happens and not like run in the other direction entirely. And I think like this past year for me has been just keep it on that left turn. And in that, I have had seasons, like especially the last like really couple months for me, where worship has been really difficult. And I have been like, the second I opened my mouth, I just start like crying. And I was like, wow, what is wrong with me? And I was talking with Laramie not that long ago, and I was like, man, like, I don't know if I'm just supposed to be quiet and hear these truths that I'm like having a hard time believing. Yeah. And Laramie was like, or like God wants them to come out of your mouth. And like, if it wrecks you, it wrecks you. Right. Like, that's important too. And sometimes you just gotta like break down and be like gross about it. And then that ties into like your neighbor singing. Mm-hmm. Also, because those days that like I haven't been able to open my mouth and I hear somebody singing it, like it is just like, it is like an unintentional prayer over me. Like they are speaking truth out into the room, and that truth like gets to fall on me when I don't have the strength to speak it out of my own mouth. And then like when I do have the strength to cry it out of my mouth, that is also the prayer. And then I can recognize like I am doing the same thing for the person that might be sitting behind me that's in the same boat. And there's just a lot of power in that.
So as you think of Sunday morning worship and wherever you happen to be, whether you're the tech booth behind the keyboard, playing guitar, singing, and understanding what we've talked about here, how does that kind of move you forward in that worship service? Like, do not just like, all right, well, I have the words on a screen, so I don't have to really memorize the words. I can, you know, I know basically where the melody is going, but there's so much more that's happening, you know, not just even with the platform, but everything that's happening in that room, because everyone has come for that particular moment. And we've said it many times, there's never a mistake when people gather for worship. So just kind of reflect to that. How does kind of taking all of this, and then, so we've received it, you know, how we have had issues and we've been able to worship God. But now let's look at the other side, like the leadership side of it. How does that affect what you do, or maybe your prep going into it now?
for me, it again, broken record, but it comes back to the surrender, right? Because if you walk into a Sunday morning, and I mean, there's churches bigger than ours, but we've got a large crowd of people just kind of staring up at you from, you know, they're not pews, but you know, the chairs in the morning. And if you kind of go into that with a performer mentality, it's really, really terrifying, because you feel like they want something from you and you better be prepared to give it to them. So for me, a huge thing has been, you know, before the service and even back in rehearsal, to just start surrendering all of that and to say, they can't want something from me because I've got nothing to give them. All I want is for the Lord to be able to sing and speak through me, and for them to be looking to Him and looking for something from Him, and to just kind of in that way, like step aside, take myself out of the equation as much as possible. And then all of a sudden my nerves really calm down. And I almost feel like I'm a part of the congregation again, not, you know, a couple feet higher up.
You had, when we did our Zoom group, it was a while ago, but you had mentioned like the things we do before a Sunday are really like combating some spiritual warfare. And that really, after listening that night, kind of changed how I go about my Saturday evenings in preparation for a Sunday. So like it is maybe not watching that extra episode of trashy reality TV and getting in bed a little earlier and reading a passage or looking at like, okay, what is the message going to be on tomorrow? Like, are there any sermon notes in there that I can look at? And then like, what part of scripture is this song coming from? And just trying to like kind of center my mind on that as the last thing I do before bed the night before, and then waking up on Sunday morning and just praying like, God, just use me however you want to use me. And that has really changed like my amount of nerves on stage as well, because I've always felt the weightiness of it, but I don't feel like I, up until that point, was doing the preparation correctly. So it really was like almost this anxious thing on a Sunday. Sure. Whereas now I'm like, I'm just going to step into whatever God has for me today and whatever God is going to use me to do in someone else's life. And that has like completely changed it for me and like changed how I look at worship on a Sunday morning from the platform.
Right.
Yeah. I think for me, the same points are true, but from a little bit different angle. I was raised, my mom was in music ministry, so I was on stage from the time I was 3 or 4 years old doing stuff. So being on stage is not scary for me so much as the fear of rejection. So if I'm in an atmosphere where I'm not really concerned if people are going to reject me, I'm very comfortable on stage. I can get up and perform and do whatever. But as soon as I start thinking about, well, if I mess up, that person's going to think I don't deserve to be on the team, or that person's going to think, you know, this about me or that about me, that's where my fear comes in. It's like when I start focusing on whether or not people approve of me. And so, similarly, when, you know, you talked about that preparation and the spiritual battle, it's like, yeah, I've got to just take a step back and forget about what people think about me and just say, here I am, Lord, use me whatever way you want. If making a mistake is going to glorify you, then let it happen, you know, it's like, you know, let me get my eyes off of me and just completely on you and let you flow through me. So
that's so true. I like, you know, you touched upon making a mistake. And I think, you know, if we all had it our way, we never would. We would never make a mistake. We would say, I'd just do my best every single time and it would be perfect. But I think us making mistakes has some kind of deep meaning to it as well. Like, you know, people, I think, can mistakenly get a certain view of people who are leading worship. And to see us make mistakes and be people and not fall to pieces when it happens or whatever, I think it helps us connect with our church family in a way that, you know, it would almost be a barrier if everything was perfect all the time.
Well, I think as, I guess I go back just to my own life and 40 years of youth ministry, seeing kids or teens, whatever they want to be called nowadays, you know, it's typically trying to get them to kind of focus on anything. And it probably happens mostly, I'm thinking probably like worship on a mission trip. You can't get more eyes off of yourself than that. And I've just seen the number of times where kids that I wasn't even sure that they had a relationship with Christ, all of a sudden they just, they're, you know, typically a lot of emotion. I think that's another thing about music. We talked a little bit about last month, is it uses every part of our being. It's not just our thoughts, but it's our heart, our emotions, our feelings. It's everything. And to give all of that to God, he can say, well, now that you've given me that, I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to move you. I'm going to fill you. And to see those kids, teens again, just really kind of say, I don't know what to do with what I'm feeling right now, but I think I'm supposed to do something. And it's not me anymore, you know? And I think even in my own life, I've had a couple of times where in the midst of worship, God has placed a call or reignited a call in my life. Back in the 1900s, before many of you guys were born, 1991 to be specific, I had a nodule on my vocal cords. I was told by the doctor, you know, no talking. Well, I was leading a youth group and I was leading the worship team. So I said, I'll just whisper. Anybody know what that does? No, worst thing to do. So he said, for 3 months, I need you on vocal silence. I still led youth group and I still put together worship. And I kind of led from the front row. I'd write stuff and hold it up to the worship team, do that. And it was in the midst of that where I said, all right, I think that God has called me to youth and worship, and you really need your voice to do this. So, God, if this is where you're wanting me, great. But if not, I really could use, like, where are you seeing me right now? And I would really appreciate kind of that guidance now. And I think it was as I gave it over to him that he said, no, this is where I want you. But now you know how I want you. Yeah. Just fully surrendered and really pursuing me. And then as I was in the midst of seeing if God was calling me out of ministry or into a different ministry, I'll put it that way, at leaving Grace, my devotions all of a sudden, just choosing devotions, and it was always about Abraham and his leaving. And I've always thought, God hasn't called me anywhere yet, so I'm supposed to stay here. And then all of a sudden, I was feeling just like Abraham. It's like, no, God's saying, go. That's all I'm giving you right now. And in worshiping him, and it was also an ancient song that you like, Waymaker, you know, that was that song. That song really, I mean, I don't know that I could get through that song in that time, because it was like, even when I don't feel it, you're with me, you're guiding, you're leading. So just complete trust and complete faith. And those times, I think it's in worship, because it's, there's no distraction. I'm just focusing on him.
Jeff, that reminds me of a story. During the youth retreat in the fall of last year, we were preparing and getting a worship set together. My wife, Anne, and I, she's my Anne. My wife, Anne, and I lead worship for the youth group as well. And so we're preparing all of this. And the day before the retreat starts, I get the worst laryngitis I've ever had. Couldn't speak in my normal register at all. Mm-hmm. And it was very tempting to just kind of say, okay, like I'm going to bow out, somebody else, you know, step in. But I kind of had this feeling of like, okay, maybe it's not just about the sound of my voice here. And something really amazing happened where the students who, like you said, it's like sometimes you're not sure where they're at. Mm-hmm. You're usually not sure where they're at. And then all of a sudden, they just do amazing things. And they prayed for me. We didn't ask them to pray for me. But several of them just decided that they were going to pray for me and for my voice specifically. And yeah, I mean, we were able to do worship. You know, it was a bit country, but down, you know. But yeah, it was just, it was powerful for me to see how there was this temptation for me to say, okay, well, it's not going to sound good, so I'm not going to do it. And that turned into an opportunity for these students to pray for someone 15 years older than them, and to see God's faithfulness in that. Like,
I know another thing that came to mind when you were asking the questions was just worship from the standpoint of being in the congregation instead of being on the stage. Mm-hmm. And I know for me, I've always seen worship as a two-way conversation. And it's not just something I'm singing to God, but as I come to worship and I'm like, okay, Lord, here I am, speak to my heart. And as I'm declaring the words, kind of like what you were saying before, as I'm declaring the words, it'll get to a part in the song where it'll say something and he'll be like, that's what I want you to focus on right now. That's what you need to remember when that person who you're frustrated with is treating you not the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. This right here is what you need to remember. Or when you're facing this financial situation and you look at this right here, this is my faithfulness that I want you to remember in those moments when you're not feeling it, you know? And so it's like this conversation as I'm singing through the song, and then I'll be like, okay, Lord, I'm going to declare it. And then I get more excited. And then I, as you know, I'm very, very, whatever the word is, when I'm singing, because it's like when I hear God speaking to me, I just want to declare it all the more and just be more adamant about making sure that my heart follows what God's speaking to my heart. So, so.
A lot of times we view worship, or it has been, and tell me if you think about this paradigm, that God is whispering to the worship team what they should be singing to the congregation. And in reality, it should be the worship team is whispering to the congregation what they should be singing to God. Wow. But not that we're above and say we have the right answers for it, but we happen to be, I've always thought of, worship leader or lead worshiper, you know? And I think I like lead worshipers. Like, we're going in this together. I just happen to be like one step in front of you because I got the set list, you know, or I know kind of what the plan is. So I'm really just one step in front of you, but this is what I believe that God is wanting us. And, you know, so even to realize, you know, when people will say, oh man, the Spirit really moved that morning, or, but the Spirit can move when John and Laramie are sitting there going, what song should we do August 15th? You know, and God's moving then, and the Spirit is moving then. He's moving in rehearsal. And, you know, I love rehearsals, just not because, well, I love singing, but because we just get to have fun. And I think God smiles and takes pleasure in that. It's like, yes, you're getting it. So all that to say, when we are there on a Sunday morning again, it's hard to, I don't know if this is the right words. It's hard to kind of make the focus on God. I know that sounds really weird to say in a church service, how can you not make it about God? But when you're up there and you're looking at the people in front of you, you're looking at the words, you're looking at the chords, you're kind of thinking, all right, I want to make sure this is right for them, that we don't make mistakes. But really it's like, all right, we want to get this. Actually, we don't have to get this all right. And it's for him, you know, instead of them. So, and I think that's part of the whole thing that with Abraham, when he finally reached where he was supposed to, and he and Lot, you know, split everything up and say, I'll take this land, you take that. And he built a memorial to worship God there. He raised his Ebenezer right there. And then Moses, man, that's so awesome what God just did. I'm going to write a song and we're going to sing this so we always remember it. Yeah. You know, don't know what that's leading to. I can't think there's a question coming out of that. I knew there was back about 5 minutes ago. But how can we keep our focus or actually move our focus? I know even I still have a hard time with that. You know, I might come after the service like, that was really good. I think God was glorified in it, as opposed to in the midst of everything going, just continuing to look up. How do you guys do that?
Yeah, I think this is where it gets interesting with like the tech perspective of things, because like thinking about a time of worship for me is very different if I'm singing on stage rather than if I'm running sound or directing or doing lights. I think like in tech, it can be very easy for people like me or Beck, like who want to do it all right, to get caught up in like making sure the transitions are correct and making sure like you hit this slide right before that lyric pops up so everybody knows what they're about to say. And it often leads to me checking myself and being like, the details are important, but what are we doing here? Like, and that's where it becomes like the part of tech that I love, which is we are like creating an environment that allows people to feel comfortable and invited into worship. So I think like it is all about God in the entire process, but it's also the fun aspect of like, I get to really partner with God here and I get to create this environment with him where people are like, I can enter into here and I can close my eyes and lift my hands, or I can sing so loud that nobody's actually going to hear me because contrary to what some people would like, this sounds pretty loud. Like, so I think like that's where it is fun. And like, it is easier for me on the tech side to be like, wow, I'm really partnering with God and I'm getting to stand in the back of the room and watch people get moved during this period of time. Whereas on the platform, it can be a little more difficult because you are saying like, oh, this really struck me during rehearsal on Wednesday and was really powerful for us then. I want to make sure we hit this powerful moment for all of them. And like, I'm with you in asking the question from that standpoint of like, how do we kind of change the mindset of like partnering with God to do that rather than making sure we hit the point so that they get to feel the same things. But from the tech standpoint, it's a lot easier for me.
Well, I think too is, like you touched on this, but it's about all of us worshiping together. It's not about having people up on stage singing to a group of people. And I remember really sensing that one time I was at an event where there were multiple bands, Christian bands, getting up and singing. And I enjoyed every single one that I listened to. But then Chris Tomlin came out and he led everybody in worship. Like, it was just a night and day difference. Everybody else, it was just fun and rah-rah. And I love seeing those guys up on stage. But when he came out, it was just this, we're all here to worship. And he just took a real low-key stance. He led us, but it wasn't about him. And we were all just worshiping together and singing to the Lord. And I just can't even tell you how much that moment moved me as we sang through this. And it was just a picture for me of the difference in the mindset as we get up and lead the body in worship, that it's not about us getting up and doing a good job and impressing the people out there. It's about us helping them to come into the presence of God and together as a body worshiping him. So
during this discussion, I've been kind of getting this image in my mind of, you know, Jeff, you said a while ago that, it's like we're just barely not even like a step ahead of the congregation. We only just kind of know what's coming next. And I get this image in my head of someone carrying a lantern to guide a crowd. And it's like the person carrying the lantern isn't providing the light, right? It's the lantern. And they don't even necessarily know where we're going, right? They can only see as much ahead as everybody else. They've just decided to take on that responsibility of holding the stick that has the lantern at the end and saying, okay, we're going to keep moving and, you know, maybe have some direction here. But yeah, that just kind of came into my head as you guys were talking. Mm-hmm. I love that idea of once you reach a certain point of maybe being comfortable with the logistics of leading worship, to be intentional about acknowledging that you're in a room filled with people who are worshiping God, and to not try to ignore them anymore, to really read the room, I guess, but you know, in like a spiritual way, to say because honestly, for me, the most powerful times and impactful times I've had leading worship have been when I can hear the congregation. You know, I've got my in-ears in. I probably have them turned way too high. I'm damaging my hearing. And despite that, the congregation is getting through. I've got the local mic muted because I don't want to get distracted. And it's like, I'm overcome when I hear so many voices together, joined in praise. I'm overcome. So I'm realizing, as because I'm fairly new to this whole leading worship thing, it's like I'm realizing that's such an important part of it, of leading. What did you say? Being a lead worshiper is actively connecting with the people that you're in the room with.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that, because I just had, this is going to sound incredibly cheesy, but I was emotional on Sunday, so this is where my brain was actually at. I'm not just saying it, but I just on Sunday, I was on broadcast audio, which is a newer position, but we have these very much noise-canceling headphones that you put on when you're in that. And I think it was before the first service, jokingly had said to Beck, I'm going in. And I put them on, and then everything else was dead to me. It was just that audio feed. But there was one point in the second service where I was the level's fine. So I took them off for a minute to hear what was going on in the room. And it just the complete difference between being in the cave and then taking those off. And the congregation was really going for it on that song. So it struck me, and this is where I got cheesy, but it's true. I had the initial thought in my brain, this is what heaven sounds like. It is a room full of people just wholeheartedly worshiping the Lord and excited to do it. They were lively for that song. and just seeing our band up there and just leading them so well in that. And I was this is seriously beautiful. And it made me teary. And I was get it together, go back in the cave. You have work to do. But for a brief moment, I was wow, this is incredible. And then to think kind of tying back to what you're saying earlier, this is what we do. we are all getting together to worship the Lord. And this is what heaven sounds like. And it's beautiful. And I think for us, those moments that are what bring you back into it. And you're this is for God. This has nothing to do with me.
It strikes me too that God doesn't have to give us those moments, right? He deserves the worship. And we're not entitled to that feeling that he lets us feel, that the overwhelming joy in those moments. So I'm often at the same time overcome with gratitude for just for that moment, because it's God, thank you for just I feel you so close to me in this exact moment. I can do nothing but be grateful, you know.
I was thinking too of how, you know, when we have communion, we talk about how it's both personal and corporate, you know, so we have the, you know, we do the bread together and the wines, whatever. You know what I'm saying? The one is together and one is personal. And I think in the same way, it's yes, worship is personal with us and the Lord, but it's also corporate. There's something about all the voices being together that we together are worshiping the Lord that just has an impact that goes so deep in our hearts that there's not really words to express it, but it's just amazing.
It's real good. It's real good. That's all I got.
Do you want to tie a bow and pray us out?
No. Yes. It's been good to have you here with us today. No, okay.
That's what I mean. I just mean for us.
Oh. Okay. You can now turn this off. We're going to pray. No. Let me just pray. God, we just thank you for who you are. There is no one like you.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Until next time, I leave you with the words of Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands.